This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz, hanging out with you for the next hour. We got a great show coming your way, as always. Double guests on this Thursday. Joe Pisapia is going to join the show. He'll give us some bets for the Thursday Major League Baseball slate. We'll get into some NFL futures with him as well. We continue our fantasy football preview as Joe Bartle from rotowire.com stops by the show. Talk quarterbacks on yesterday's show. We'll be talking tight ends with Joe Bartle. Then we'll take a look at some interesting markets in the NFL division futures. We're not talking about who's winning the divisions. We're going to give you some plays for who's going to finish last in some of these divisions around the NFL. And we'll, of course, start things off with some training camp talk. But before we get to that, just a quick reminder, make sure you download, make sure you're subscribed to the Prop Points podcast. You can find it on Apple, on Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Search Prop Points, search VSiN, you'll find us. You'll find all VSiN programming in podcast form. Brandon, notes continue to trickle in as NFL training camps are underway. And we talked a little bit yesterday about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and some of their contract situations. Vita Vea officially requested a trade earlier this week. Baker Mayfield has not requested a trade, but is at a bit of an impasse with the organization as far as his next contract goes. Now, Baker Mayfield came out and said this morning, Brandon, he felt, quote, disrespected and undervalued by the contract offers he received from the Buccaneers, reportedly just a two-year deal. Baker, of course, believes he's a franchise quarterback. How do you read this going into the season? Is this a frustrated, angry Baker Mayfield, or is this maybe the Baker Mayfield we want, which is a motivated, something to prove Baker Mayfield?
I think you nailed it right there. Baker Mayfield is at his best when he plays with a chip on his shoulder. So the Bucs might very well know what they're doing by setting him up to have that sort of motivated, let me show you and prove you wrong kind of season. He's always at his best when he plays like that. His best seasons with Tampa were before he got paid and got a monster contract. But on top of that, you know, outside of the fun narrative of the Baker Mayfield that wants to literally plant a flag on somebody's logo in the middle of a field, is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are quietly going through a rebuild that they refuse to admit out loud. But, you know, they kind of scrambled after the Tom Brady era. They wound up tripping into a really good quarterback play with Baker Mayfield, and I don't think they wanted to waste the end of Mike Evans' career. Well, Mike Evans is gone now. Lavonte David is gone now. Their best defensive player, Vita Vea, is asking for a trade. They don't know what their future holds. They might not even have their head coach in Todd Bowles come next year. So I don't think they want to tie themselves up financially to a quarterback when they don't even know what their future looks like.
You know, I did give out Baker as an MVP long shot last week, currently 45-1 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Everything you just said doesn't make me feel great about that. And yet I still think 45-1 is a reasonable value. I know we may be at odds as far as what this season may look like for the Buccaneers. And we'll talk about that later when we get to those divisional futures. But I still think this is a very gettable NFC South. I think the Buccaneers, if things break right, could be a 10-11 win team. I think that alone, if they win the division, kind of puts Baker Mayfield at least in the conversation. And we forget, Brandon, 8 weeks into last season, he was number two in MVP odds behind Josh Allen. Now, we do need to, of course, acknowledge what happened after that, which was a disastrous finish, not only for Baker, but really the Buccaneers at large. But Baker has shown enough to me. He's shown that he could be an MVP candidate for at least a half a season. And I think in that division, it is replicable. I think at 45-1, still a reasonable value. We'll give you a quick update, by the way, on the Rocket Classic, round one underway. Peter Malnati, currently your leader. We, of course, previewed the tournament with Len Hochberg yesterday. And even though they've stiffened up this course, Brandon, we're still seeing a lot of guys go low. Malnati in at 9-under, 61. Ricky Fowler, 7-under. Ryan Gerard, 7-under. A whole slew of names at 5-under, including Keegan Bradley and Michael Kim. So Gerard, currently your betting favorite over at DraftKings, plus 730, Fowler plus 780, and Cam Young, the odds on favorite heading into the tournament, just shy of 11-1. And he is, I believe, teeing off as we speak. So still nothing on the board quite yet for Cam Young. Brandon, elsewhere in training camp, Malik Nabers looking good so far for the New York Giants. This is one we have been tracking very closely in the fantasy football world. A lot of people pulled back on Nabers over the last month or so. We've seen his ADP tumble all the way out of the third round. I mean, you're getting Malik Nabers off in the early to mid fourth. He's going about pick 41 on average over the last 3 weeks. So a steep, steep discount compared to that initial price. You often saw him around the 1-2 turn. I do think if he continues to look healthy and continues to look good, which he will, as long as he's healthy, I think he's going to move back up the board, maybe into that Chris Olave, Devontae Smith, Rashee Rice, Emeka Abuka range. How are you feeling right now about Malik Nabers, whether it's the health or just the situation at large with the Giants?
I feel great about him. He looks sharp. If you watch some of the highlights that have been out there from training camp, it's not just that he's on the field. It's that he is sprinting and cutting and running a typical route tree to perfection. The bottom line is that he was running in a way that you would not run if you had significant knee concerns. So while the training camp videos in general tend to energize ADP values more than they should, this one does make sense. I think at his best, he has shown that he's a wide receiver one, that he has wide receiver one upside in fantasy. And I'm in a draft right now where he went at the 3-4 turn. That is a steal, in my opinion. 12-team PPR right after Olave, Zay Flowers, Emeka Buka. I would take him ahead of all of those players comfortably, especially after seeing the way that he's running out there.
Folks, you want to bet smarter? Then you need everything we offer at RotoWire, including updated ADP from all the major sites. I encourage you to check that out. We also have the brand new Smart Money tool, which shows you exactly where sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. That'll get you 15% off any of our plans. That's rotowire.com. And make sure you use that promo code VSIN. Brandon, it's been an interesting week at 49ers camp, to say the least. I guess we've gotten a little more intel on the Kyle Shanahan situation. But in terms of players on this roster, not great news coming out of yesterday's practice. Ricky Pearsall dealing with some swelling in his knee. They believe it's related to that PCL injury from last season. I don't want to jump the gun. We're not even into August yet, but it feels like here we go again already with this 49ers team that is perennially, it seems, in the top of the list as far as key players banged up every single year. Your level of concern right now on Ricky Pearsall, you could still get at a pretty reasonable price in fantasy drafts.
I'm not really interested. He's one of those guys. You just, there's some names that I look at on the board and I just say, you can have them. There's so many guys that I like. I don't need, as Alan Soslowski said, such a wise tenor yesterday, that injuries will find you in fantasy. You don't need to go looking for them. PCL injury last year in week 4 cost him 6 games. Now this. And the Niners know it's a problem. That's why they went hard into free agency the way that they did. Christian Kirk, Mike Evans. You have to wonder if Deebo Samuel is on his way soon as well. Pearsall is just such an easy pass for me at the back end of drafts. And there's just so many other guys I'm excited about. I don't need to force it.
I don't know what to make of this Niners team, because on one hand, it feels like the injury luck has to be better than it was last season, you know, especially with all the losses they suffered on the defensive side. But, you know, it's also a roster that is full of guys who have injury concerns and in theory are more prone to suffering those injuries than the average player who may not have that. If you're looking at the NFC West odds to win the division right now, Brandon, Rams are still even money. I think this is a value at plus 100 right now to take the Rams to win the NFC West. Seattle, your defending Super Bowl champion, back at plus 205. Niners are plus 305. Do you see a case for San Francisco leapfrogging either the Rams or the Seahawks? And if not, should we be looking into a San Francisco to miss the playoffs type of play?
I would be more interested in the San Francisco to miss the playoffs play than I would be in betting them to win the division. But if you think it's possible they win the division, you have to make a bet that I have already placed this offseason, which is Brock Purdy to win NFL MVP at 20-1. Because the two, to me, with that division, if the 49ers are good enough to win the division, especially with the concerns that we have that Christian McCaffrey might not put together a full season of health again, back-to-back years for him, which is a rarity, unfortunately, in his career. Purdy showed last year he is more than a game manager. If this team finishes at the top of their division, the best division in football, he's winning MVP. So 20-1 on Brock Purdy would be the way that I would bet it at a much smaller unit size.
Niners to miss the playoffs, by the way, plus 122 right now at the DK Sportsbook. Real quickly, Brandon, we do have some positive news out of Chargers camp. Both Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater fully cleared, medically cleared to begin training camp. For our purposes, this really means more for Omarion Hampton than anything else. He's typically going at that 1-2 turn ADP of about 13. Are you happy with that price? Would you consider taking him over guys like Ashton Jeanty and James Cook, who typically go just ahead?
I wouldn't take him ahead of those guys, but he's right behind that list of names. I'm pretty excited about what he can offer in year two with a healthy offensive line and Mike McDaniel, who has just energized running games throughout his career. Look at what he did for a guy like Raheem Mostert to get him into the Pro Bowl. I'm all in on Omarion Hampton.
We'll have to talk more at some point about that range of running backs. I want Ashton Jeanty to be a great NFL player really badly. I think the cost is a little bit prohibitive for me based on how things went last season. I don't know that I feel that much better about the Raiders roster, but I think the price on Omarion Hampton is very fair given the upside in that Chargers offense. We're going to bring on our first guest of the day when we come back. Joe Pisapia, host of Fandom NFL over on YouTube. He's going to give us some NFL futures and some baseball plays. You're watching.
Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. I've got something for you that feels almost too good to be true. First, we got to give credit where credit is due. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already leveling up your betting game. You're riding along with our best bets and our top angles. And when there's a good game on, you're probably getting involved with a few props and alt markets too. But there's one more layer if you really want to step things up. And that's VSiN Pro. Yeah, I've mentioned it before, but things are only getting better for our VSiN Pro subscribers. We just rolled out our MLB prop projections, breaking down some of the best edges across strikeouts, hits, home runs, and more. And that's on top of everything else pro subscribers already get, including public betting splits, expert picks, and betting guides across the sports calendar. If you haven't tried it yet, stop sleeping on it. You can get your first month for just $9.99, or better yet, save big with promo code POD26. That's POD26. On an annual subscription. Hit the link in the description and start cashing in with VSiN Pro. All right, now back to the show.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz back with you. It's Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Going to preview today's Major League Baseball slate in just a moment, but we'll give you a quick scoreboard update. One game in action, that is Rangers-Rays down in Tampa Bay. 1-1 game right now in the top of the fourth. Two on and two out for the Texas Rangers. So we'll keep you posted if that score changes at all throughout the show. We're heading out to the Progressive Guest Line. It's Double Guest Thursday here on Prop Points. We start out with our friend Joe Pisapia, host of Fandom NFL over on YouTube, author of the Fantasy Black Book series. You can find him on Twitter, on X, at Joe Pisapia 17. And again, make sure you subscribe to Joe's YouTube channel, at Fandom NFL. Make sure to get your copy of the latest edition of the Fantasy Football Black Book for 2026. You can find it on Amazon, and you can find more info on that book over on Joe's Twitter. Joe, we appreciate you making some time out of your day to join us. We're going to talk some baseball. We're going to get to some NFL futures with you as well. But let's start in Major League Baseball. You have a play for Nats Braves tonight where we have Jake Irvin taking on Grant Holmes.
Actually, yeah. So looking at the player props right now, you see James Woods off. Look, he's had a great season. He's had a really good restart to the break as well. And I think there's a really good chance here when you look at it's a very small sample size. He's only had a couple at-bats against that pitcher. But still, James Wood is in a situation where he's really kind of had that breakout next level season that we've been waiting for. And I think that Nats offense really caught everybody by surprise, right? All season long, whether it be Luis Garcia having a career high in home runs, whether it be CJ Abrams taking his game to the next level. But I like that total base prop you're getting on him today. I think it's a really good one. I got a lot of other things I like, but it is a short slate. So it's tough when you're looking at just the individual guys that are out there. You're trying to bet on some individuals coming above their expectations. But if you think about how that offense has run all year, how productive they've been, the total basis for him is a good bet. You can even look at the RBIs too. You're going to get plus money on that. But I think just taking that one bet there with James Wood of the over 1.5 total bases at minus 115, I think is a good investment today. And the Nats, let's be honest, have been a good investment all year offensively.
Yes, big time. I love the over in that one tonight as well. Mets throwing their young stud on the mound today, Nolan McLean against Miami. The Marlins have rattled off three straight after a 12-game losing streak. This team is impossible to figure out. What you got for us in this NL East clash?
Well, despite the fact that Nolan McLean is on the mound, I think there is every reason to be in on the other side of this game with Eury Pérez of the Marlins. So Eury Pérez, we all know, has big strikeout potential. But also, let's take into account the context of what's going on with the New York Mets. No Juan Soto in this lineup, coming off a day-night doubleheader. This team is exhausted, right? They're without the big-time bat in the middle of that order. Yeah, Lindor is back, and he's hitting pretty well right now. But without Juan Soto, it's just not the same lineup. Let's be honest. And we all know one thing is true. For those of us, the loser Met fans like myself that have watched years and years of Jacob deGrom getting no runs aboard, we've seen basically the same thing with Nolan McLean. And there's a really good opportunity here where you're going to see Nolan McLean probably pitch a pretty decent game, probably not get the runs aboard. And I like the Marlins opportunity on the money line today. You're getting plus money on that too, which is not too shabby. I would take a look at that because you are thinking about the context of what's going on. The team is depleted. The roster's depleted a little bit. You're coming off a day where you played two games, and now you're going right back at it the next one with no day off. Sometimes you got to take advantage of those opportunities when they allow themselves in Major League Baseball. And I think the Mets, it's been down and out all season, but I think today is definitely a down and out day where it's going to be really hard for that offense to get up, if you know what I mean.
We'll have more from Joe in just a moment, but folks, this is it. Tomorrow is your last day to lock in early bird pricing on our football special here at VSiN. $175 all the way through the Super Bowl before it goes up to $199 starting on Saturday. With preseason football just around the corner, you get instant access to our NFL betting guide, giving you futures, win totals, division races, and player props. On Monday, our college football betting guide comes out that previews all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from your favorite VSiN experts. You'll also get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings, plus full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. The price goes up on Saturday. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in this deal for the season. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Joe Pisapia from Fandom NFL over on YouTube, author of the Fantasy Black Book series, joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. Joe, let's get one more baseball play before we shift things over to the National Football League. A couple plays for you in Mariners Dodgers with Brian Wu and Roki Sasaki on the hill. What do you like?
Well, look, Roki Sasaki has been kind of an enigma, but the last two starts for him have been very good. Over his last 12 innings, we've seen him kind of moving in that right direction, which has been good. And he's been kind of a mercurial asset, to say the least. However, the last two starts, 12 innings for him, 14 strikeouts, just three walks. I like that here. On the run line, you're getting plus money. Now, when I sent this bet in this morning to your producer, it was at 130-something. Now it's at 120-something. So clearly I'm on something here. I'm on a trend line. So bet it before it keeps going in the opposite direction, because the other part of this bet I want you to look at is Brian Wu, who this year on the road has really struggled. He's got a 2.2 ERA at home. Brilliant. Absolute nightmare on the road. A 6.52 ERA. And we keep trying to rack our brains, figuring out what is wrong. Does he hate like the travel kit stuff that you got to take with you when you got a shower? Do you just not like hotel beds? I don't know what's going on with Brian Wu this year, but I will take advantage of that with the not only Dodgers on the run line, but also the Dodgers over 4.5 for the team run total tonight too. He's given up so many runs. I think you got a really good opportunity to get both of these over the finish line today in Major League Baseball. So on a short slate, the game I want to focus on the most is this Dodger game because Wu has been a liability on the road. Roki's been on a hot streak, and I think that Dodger offense can get it done today.
It's got to be the Hotel Soap. Hotel Soap is just so mid. I don't even know. What are we doing? Come on. Even when you stay in the nice
room. Anyway, let's right? Trans- That's the problem.
It does. It does. I've never met a Hotel Soap that I fell in love with, but Baker Mayfield's all frustrated at his Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This could pay dividends with the way that he plays so well with a chip on his shoulder. He's gone over his passing yard total in each of his first three seasons in Tampa. No Evans this year, injury plagued last year. How do you read Baker Mayfield in terms of his passing prop going into the season?
Well, you're VSiN guys, right? So you're betting guy. So if there's one thing we always like, it's what? Baker Mayfield as the underdog. He comes through almost every single time. It's what he does. So last year he went over this number already. Why it's so low, I don't know. It's 3,500 and a half. I think it's absurd. Yes, you're losing Mike Evans. Yes, Chris Godwin has had some injury issues, but you still got Emeka Buka. You've still got Jalen McMillan. You've still got capable running backs here in the scenario you're looking at. So I don't get this. I don't understand what's going on. Kenneth Gainwell showed up too, and he had a terrific season catching the ball in the backfield last year for the Pittsburgh Steelers in an expanded role. So you're talking about a guy who's just 2 years removed from a 4,500 passing yard season. You're talking about the year before that, 4,000 yards. Now, I understand, I get it to a certain degree, why people are concerned. Last year, there was some injury stuff with Baker Mayfield. But over the first 6 weeks of the season, Baker Mayfield was in the top three conversation for MVP. And I think people are forgetting this. This number is way too low. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And if he's playing for a contract and they don't get this done before training camp, this might be my favorite offseason bet of the entire year because I think he's going to smash this and get paid. And the Buccaneers are really tempting fate here if they don't lock him up before Labor Day.
So on the show yesterday, Joe, I'm not going to name any names, but one of the hosts, again, could have been either of us. One of the hosts said there is no way he would even consider betting Fernando Mendoza to win Rookie of the Year at plus 450. My question to you is, do you disagree? Is there value in this market?
I think there is. I mean, you're getting more than 4-1 on him right now. And it might even continue on because I understand the thought process there. If it was a 2-1 bet, I could understand that. But Jeremiah Love, we have the opportunity here where it's James Conner. Tyler Allgeier is going to work in now. That's awful news. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Tyler Allgeier ruined Bijan Robinson's rookie season for a lot of us in fantasy. And at the same time, it's typically an award that goes to a quarterback. And, you know, the last quarterback that was selected one overall that didn't start week one, or it was actually Baker Mayfield, right? The last guy to not, like, everybody starts week one typically. This Kirk Cousins news, I think, is ridiculous. I understand why we're getting it, but at the same time, I think they're doing a detriment to this team because I think Mendoza's tough enough mentally to learn as he goes, and I do think there's value on it, and if it continues to go up, it's plus 450 now in some markets. I would make that investment because it's a very long season. We've seen enough Kirk Cousins. If Kirk Cousins last September, okay, by October, he's going to be gone. He's out of the picture, and then he'll be a distant memory by the time the media votes way later in December and January.
Joe, awesome stuff, man. Really appreciate you giving us some of your time. You can check out Joe's YouTube channel, Fandom NFL. Make sure you watch those videos. Make sure you're a subscriber, especially during football season. And make sure you get your copy of the Fantasy Football Black Book 2026. You can find that over at Amazon. Give Joe a follow on the way out as well on Twitter and X at Joe Pizapia 17. We're going to keep going on the Progressive Guest Line when we come back. We're previewing the tight end position in fantasy football with our friend Joe Bartle from rotowire.com. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Stick with us. You're watching VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it here on Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Brandon Kravitz alongside your everyday host, Nick Whalen. And we have got another Joe joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Joe Bartle, fantasy football expert over at rotowire.com. At JB Fantasy Sports is how you can follow him. Joe, welcome to the show. We have come to learn that you are in the midst of a fantasy draft as we speak right now. So give us the lay of the land. What round are you in and what picks have you loved or hated so far?
Yeah, I mean, that's how dedicated I am to this, right? I mean, fantasy football is my life, even so much that I'm doing dual television appearance and drafting here for SiriusXM Fantasy. You can listen to my colleagues, Jim Coventry, Mario Puig, hopefully giving compliments on the draft, but it's a 14-team one on Channel 87 right now. RotoWire does, I think, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern every day throughout the week. So we have got a bunch of RotoWire hosts doing that. But I'm the lone RotoWire representative in this expert draft. One quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, two flex, one tight end. And I am so dedicated to the craft and making sure that I'm prepared for the content we're discussing today that I have chose not to take a tight end through eight rounds. So we will literally be going over live. What are the perils of choosing to wait at tight end and maybe some options if you can find them on different platforms. It's going to be riding by the seat of our pants, but I'm excited for it.
So Joe, I have staked my claim this year as a wait on tight end guy. I think there are too many values after pick 100 to be, shopping in that Colston Loveland, Tyler Warren, Kyle Pitts range. I certainly don't have a problem if you want to build around Brock Bowers early on. I think the price for Trey McBride, given what we saw last season, is fair as well. But before we get into some of those late round targets, this sounds like it's foreign for you. It sounds to me like you're not used to having to pluck tight ends, around pick 120. Who have you been drafting most so far?
Oh, an unconscious and almost gross amount of Tucker Kraft. I never, the listeners should know I'm a Packer fan through and through. I actually vehemently believe that one of Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, or Tucker Kraft is going to be potentially league winner given their current ADP. I know the invent of 12 and 13 personnel is all the rave right now in the NFL. The Packers don't have the ability outside Tucker Kraft to go ahead and do that. Luke Musgrave, I think, tripped in training camp already and is injured. They had John Fitzpatrick as a blocking specialist last year, no longer on the team. The moves to re-sign Christian Watson and Jaden Reed to extensions this offseason tells me the Packers want to be in more 11 personnel, which again is not the vogue where we're at. So I'm expecting the Packers offense to have to be good because their defense is so bad and Tucker Kraft being chief among that group. I think in best ball drafts, and I've done close to 100 now at this point, I'm at like a 40 to 38% exposure on Kraft. And I want to be clear, that is not the way you should do things. Do not build your rosters where you're almost 50% pot committed to a guy, but his ADP has been insane, especially in half point PPR settings like underdog. I will take a little bit of Colston Loveland. I don't mind going down to like Isaiah Likely, who's typically tight end 11 for me, but that's generally the area. It's Tucker Kraft or bust if I'm choosing to take a tight end early.
The anti-Pitts crowd has quieted a bit after his impressive performance last year, his best since his rookie season. Is there still any hesitation for you as far as Kyle Pitts goes? And if so, is it Pitts related or is it quarterback related?
Oh yeah. And we had news yesterday about Tua being banged up. Michael Penix still isn't recovered from what feels like his 15th ACL tear, dating back to high school and college. I'm nervous about the Falcons offense, not to where I'm not drafting Drake London. And outside of the one explosive game for Kyle Pitts last year, I feel like he'd been kind of ho-hum, but you're getting this tight end 8, 9, 10 in that range. There's no issue in my mind if you're choosing to wait to that point. I don't know the secondary pass catcher in Atlanta, and that's been a top of conversation that we've had on SiriusXM Fantasy. I know there are some people, maybe some people on this broadcast right now, that like Zachariah Branch. I understand as one of a late round pick, maybe that makes sense. But to me, it has to be Kyle Pitts and it has to be Drake London. And the Kevin Stefanski offense will require typically a secondary pass catcher outside of Drake London. So I'm not in on Kyle Pitts in the same way that I had Tucker Kraft, but I'm not avoiding him by any means either.
We'll have more from Joe Bartle in just a second, but folks, tomorrow is the last day to enter. Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free, but the window is closing. One winner will receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. Another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million, and both winners will receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Entries close tomorrow at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN and enter now. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Chat with our friend Joe Bartle from rotowire.com, one of our fantasy football experts. He is mid fantasy football draft as he joins us here on Prop Point. So Joe, as you laid out, you have not taken an early tight end. We're into the middle to late rounds of your draft. So all of a sudden, You're starting to look at Harold Fannin. You're maybe taking a look at Sam Laporta. Then we usually have a bit of a gap before you get into George Kittle, Dalton Kincaid, Isaiah Likely, et cetera. Again, I know this is foreign territory for you as what sounds like just a Tucker Kraft, no matter what type of drafter. But as you start looking at the queue, you start looking at some names still available. Who's speaking to you if you're targeting a late tight end?
Yeah, in fact, I actually did make my very first tight end selection here in round 10 of this draft. Again, you can listen on SiriusXM channel 87 right now. They are discussing, again, hopefully good strategy by me, although we'll see if waiting to get Isaiah Likely as the last starting tight end is the choice. But I'm of the belief, and this was a lot more prominent before Malik Nabers seems to be coming back, maybe ready for week one, that Isaiah Likely was the pocket pick in this range. Now, there's other guys. Mark Andrews has been getting a lot of steam. I don't mind Mark Andrews whatsoever. I've been a huge Okonkwo fan as well too, provided the Commanders don't add any crazy receiver. Literally crazy in the case of Brandon Ayuk, debatable with Stephon Diggs. Those are kind of the two prominent options being discussed right now. That still hasn't happened. I would kind of assume that would have at this point. So Chig Okonkwo is in that mix. But Isaiah Likely is going to be, I think, one of the front runners in terms of targets. The Giants certainly paid him as such. And while you don't have John Harbaugh influencing the offense, unfortunately, Matt Nagy is doing that. I do think John Harbaugh saying, hey, this guy is the player that we want to have. We signed him this extension away from the Ravens. That, to me, is reason enough to believe Isaiah Likely is going to be a factor within that offense. And I have him at tight end 11. I'll take him over Dalton Kincaid. I'll take him over Ronde Gadsden. Those guys both go ahead of him. I'll take Isaiah Likely over George Kittle. And I know there's been optimism about his recovery from the Achilles injury, but I think Isaiah Likely is going to be one of those spots where he gets 60 to 70 catches, and that's a massive windfall with his ADP.
It's like you're staring at my notes, Joe. Unbelievable. I had Isaiah Likely and Chig Okonkwo I wanted to talk about next, but we've already checked those boxes. So what I want to know is the way that I typically draft tight end when I'm not getting one of the premier guys year after year. And of course, it is a case-by-case basis and it changes every year. It's the one position where I'm not obsessed with upside. I want steady Eddie. I need a guy that's not going to make me pull what little hairs I have remaining on my head out. Who is that? I tend to look the way of Jake Ferguson, but is there, who is the guy that you say I can just park him in my lineup? I draft him late and I don't really need to stress about it that much throughout the season.
Well, you slid me your notes because I was right there with you. Jake Ferguson's probably my answer to this question. I love the upside of Isaiah Likely. I think Chig Okonkwo can do this stuff. But when we're talking about a tight end that will be reliable, let's just say tight end 10 through 12 range, we actually have a bit of data points that I'm working on RotoWire that talk about tight end 1 week by week ratios. And it's ironic that we discuss this position because it is kind of hard to find, but it's really easy to find late. Hunter Henry, Juwan Johnson, Harold Fannin are all guys that you could have. I think that ended up tight end 1 starts of 10 or more times throughout the season last year. I think Jake Ferguson meets that billing. Now, let's be clear. He is kind of low end tight end 1 price already. Currently his ADP and NFFC over the last 2 weeks is about tight end 14. Again, you'll have a Ronde Gadsden. You'll have Dalton Kincaid in that same mix. I would rather have Jake Ferguson because I know what the steady Eddie safe production looks like. But on the flip side, you're missing out on trying to find that Juwan Johnson or Harold Fannin. And I would almost argue it's going to be easier now than ever with how many tight ends are playing, or expected to play this year with the invent of 12 and 13 personnel in the NFL, that you could maybe do better just waiting to pick up the waiver wire starting tight end in week 3. Again, Juwan Johnson was one of those guys I recommended on my waiver wire article on RotoWire as a hot pickup. That ended up being, I think he was like 18% rostered on Yahoo winning leagues from our own Scott Pianowski, a friend of RotoWire that does those Yahoo articles at the end. Harold Fannin would have been the same way too. So I like going for the steady Eddie, especially in best ball drafts like Jake Ferguson. But reality is you could probably find the Terrence Ferguson or maybe Eli Stowers if Dallas Goedert gets hurt with a last pick or even as a UDFA for your fantasy leagues.
All right, Joe, about 30 seconds left. If you are targeting one of these, I guess we could call them boring veteran tight ends at this point, very similar ADPs. Who do you have ranked higher between Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce?
Well, I'm not a Swiftie fan. No, I am, let's be honest. But I will take Mark Andrews over Travis Kelce in that way. I think there's, outside of Zay Flowers, only one other target in Baltimore that I feel confident. I like Elijah Surratt. I like Jacoby Lane. They are question marks in my mind. And I do think the Ravens defense with Madubuike back is going to help. But reality is they were a bad defense last year and are going to need scoring opportunities. So I'm in Mark Andrews over Travis Kelce, confidently so.
There we have it. Joe Bartle, everybody. Find all of his excellent work for us on the football side of things over at rotowire.com. At JB Fantasy Sports is where you can follow him. And he joined us, as all our guests do, via the Progressive guest line. We give you a baseball scoreboard update. We'll talk some NFL division last place plans that we may be placing when we come back. You're watching Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it on Prop Points, Brandon Kravitz, along with your everyday host, Nick Whalen. Nick will be off tomorrow, and it'll be me alongside Eric Holterman. We're chopping it up about all things MLB trade deadline. We've got more NFL news and notes from training camp, but we still have a lot to get to here. MLB scoreboard update for you. The Rangers have taken a 2-1 lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. Yandy Diaz knocked one in for Tampa, but Shane McClanahan struggling a bit. A few walked batters for him. We're at the top of the first between the Royals and the Twins in that AL Central battle, but nobody on the board just yet. Yankees White Sox will get started in Chi-Town on the south side coming up at 2:10 on the East Coast. So we want to flip the script here. Nick and I are going to talk futures, NFL divisions, but we're going to do this in the opposite direction, betting on last place NFL division finishers. One thing to consider, Nick, when evaluating these divisions is that things rarely go the way that we expect. I know this is shocking information for everybody when we're talking about the NFL, but sometimes we need reminders. Last year, only one preseason favorite for a division title won the division. It was the Philadelphia Eagles. The bottom has been a little more predictable, so I'm thinking that maybe this is where the value is had. Five of the eight last place teams from 2025 also finished in last place in 2024. Still, the league is weird, but weird is where we find value. So let's start with the AFC East. Who do you like to finish last in that division?
Look, I don't like the price on this team, Brandon, but I think the Miami Dolphins to me are the definitive fourth place team in the AFC East. And that's saying a lot because the Jets, of course, play in this division. I think we could set Buffalo and New England aside in this discussion. It's probably a two-team race for this designation, but look, there's a lot of overlap, of course, when you look at the schedules between two teams in the same division. Obviously, you play the same divisional opponents. They play each other twice head-to-head, and you get those same rotation games. But where the schedules differ, Brandon, a third-place versus a fourth-place schedule, I think is really going to matter as far as what the final record looks like for these two teams. So the New York Jets, by virtue of finishing in last place last year, they draw the Cleveland Browns, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Tennessee Titans out of the AFC North, the NFC West, and the AFC South, respectively. Meanwhile, the Miami Dolphins get the Cincinnati Bengals, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Indianapolis Colts in those three kind of wild card games, if you will, in terms of the schedule. So, look, maybe in terms of roster construction, in terms of the direction of the franchise, there are a lot of similarities right now between Miami and the New York Jets. I still think there's more talent on this Jets roster. I'm not a huge Geno Smith guy, but it's going to be a huge jump up just in general competency compared to that three-headed monster of quarterbacks that we saw, including Brady Cook for the New York Jets a year ago. Whereas Miami, man, I mean, this is a team that has actively made its roster worse on purpose this offseason. And outside of Devon Achane, can the average NFL fan name more than like two other players on the Dolphins roster? You have a first-time starting quarterback full-time in Malik Willis. You have a rookie head coach who comes over from the defensive side of the ball in Jeff Hafley. Look, I like the general direction, this overall full-on rebuild. We're embracing it. I applaud the Miami Dolphins for doing that, but they're going to take a hit in the short term.
It's hard to argue with that. I still like the number better on the Jets at plus 170, just because I don't think the gap between these two rosters is all that severe. And Aaron Glenn looked like he was in over his head last year, a defensive guy whose defense finished 30th in the NFL. You bring up some good points though, with the schedule difficulty, and it's definitely something worth looking at. This isn't a bet that I'm sprinting to make. Could I interest you in the Steelers at 3-1 to finish last in the AFC North. I know everybody's going to immediately assume that it's the Cleveland Browns, mm-hmm. but if things go south for Pittsburgh in their first year in a long time without Mike Tomlin, it could be pretty spectacular in how bad it is.
Yeah, that's the big change, right? You know, you have a lot of the same names, same faces from last year's team, and you know, some of the holdovers who've been with Pittsburgh forever, but you lose the guy who just automatically got you to at least 8 wins for the last 20 years in Mike Tomlin. And look, I think I would be a little more worried about the bottom falling out, for the Steelers if they brought in some no-name head coach or somebody who had not been a head coach before. Like, I would like to think that there's still going to be a floor there with Mike McCarthy. There may not be an overly high ceiling. I think the Steelers probably top out at maybe 9 wins, maybe 10, if they catch all the breaks that they did last season, which is unlikely. But look, at 3-1, I think you could talk me into it. The problem is I'm just not overly high on what the Cleveland Browns are doing. You know, I know Kevin Stefanski, it felt like by the end of his tenure, both sides were ready to move on. But I think he maximized some really bad rosters, some really bad quarterbacks in Cleveland. It deserves a lot of credit for that. So we could question the head coaching change for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I think you still have to say the same about the Cleveland Browns. And that's before we even get into this Deshaun Watson versus Shedeur Sanders, one of the saddest QB battles of all time. The Browns are still the Browns to me, Brandon, until proven otherwise.
I had a feeling it was going to be a bit of a hard sell. Now, we're not going to have your Jacksonville Jaguars finishing at the bottom of the AFC South. Perhaps it's the Tennessee Titans at +105. But let's jump around a little bit, because the AFC feels like it's perhaps too predictable in that sense. Actually, before we move on to the NFC, is there, either in the AFC South or the AFC West, are you going against the grain with either of those divisions? Titans, Raiders would be the presumptive favorite at the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, the West is tough because, you know, I think we really like those other three teams, right? And the Raiders still feel like a very distant fourth, even though they made a lot of changes. You know, I think we feel better about the direction of the roster. We feel better about the coaching staff than we did last year. But I think the Raiders are probably still a year away from really pushing one of those teams. But look, whether it's one of the top three in the AFC South or the AFC West, one of those teams is probably going to be hit with some key injuries that make this interesting. The South, to me, you know, Tennessee, I'm not totally writing off the Titans. You know, it was a disastrous season last year, but I'm in on Cam Ward. I think he'll take a step forward. I think they made some really nice moves to upgrade that roster offensively. I think the defense has been a pretty underrated unit, given the lack of big names outside of Jeffrey Simmons. And look, I'm all in on giving Robert Saleh another chance and what should be, you know, a better situation for him with a longer runway to succeed in Tennessee compared to the New York Jets. So yeah, I think the Titans are in play to not finish last in that division. The problem then is picking which team finishes fourth. And is it the Indianapolis Colts, Brandon, at +240? I know things are looking good right now for Daniel Jones, but you wonder about the mobility. You wonder about, you know, is it going to take a few games to kind of get back to where we think he can be? That defense really fell off, I thought, toward the end of last season. So between those two divisions, the AFC South is one where I could see Tennessee climbing up to that third spot.
I am not ready to give up on the Indianapolis Colts. This is a team that was 8-2 before the collapse, and the collapse perfectly aligned with the injuries that they had at every level. It wasn't just Daniel Jones. Their secondary was ravaged last year. They brought Philip Rivers off the high school sidelines. I think this team, especially with that offensive line, when you have one of the better offensive lines in the NFL, it's really hard to be the worst team in your division. Can I sell you on my favorite last place bet is in the NFC North, and it's the Green Bay Packers at +355. I think they could be in real trouble this year. They carry a 5-game losing streak into the season, perfectly coinciding with the loss of Micah Parsons. They were outscored 130-73 without Micah Parsons in the lineup. Their defensive coordinator is now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Their O-line is in shambles, bottom 10 in the NFL. I'm high on the Lions. You and I lockstep, big on the Vikings this year. I think they're a good long shot divisional bet. And while I expect the Bears to take a step back, I still think they're better in a lot of areas if you go tail of the tape with the Green Bay Packers. So when you get +355 on Green Bay, I am very interested in that number.
Yeah, I've talked about Packers to miss the playoffs. I'm very open to this. And part of the reason is you're not looking at a total disaster season to finish at fourth, right? I mean, 8 wins could put you in fourth place in the NFC North with how stacked this division is. So, yeah, you brought up a lot of the concerns with Green Bay. I mean, missing Parsons, maybe missing Tucker Kraft to begin the year. The roster is just a little bit more concentrated than it's been in years past. They had always been this team that had a ton of depth and maybe didn't have as many stars. You know, now they're paying guys at the top of the roster, and some of that depth, especially at the receiver position, the running back position, has moved on. So I think if Green Bay stays relatively healthy, they're probably fine. They're probably somewhere in the middle in that division, but a couple key injuries, as we saw last season, could completely flip the script for the Green Bay Packers. So I like that one at plus 355. Let's finish out quickly, Brandon, with our best bets of the night. What do you have for us?
I like the over in Nationals Braves. Jake Irvin, Grant Holmes on the mound. Neither put the fear of God in you. Nationals 56% to the over on the season. Should be a lot of runs in this one. Wind blowing out as well.
I'm going to like quadruple down on my Detroit Lions futures. Give me the Lions to get the number one seed in the NFC. I know everybody loves the Rams, and rightfully so, but that schedule for the Detroit Lions, even in a difficult division, plus 790 over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Keep it locked right here on VSiN Money Moves. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way next. Brandon Kravitz, Eric Halter will be with you on Prop Points tomorrow. Have a great